right, grab a seat. Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're here. Yeah, starting three services today. Just what we thought. 10 o'clock is full already. Awesome. Go ahead and tell you in advance there will be seats at 8:30 and 11:30 starting next week. Amen. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. If it's your first time with us, if you're a guest, thank you for being here. I want to introduce myself. My name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. And we're honored. You picked a great Sunday to join us. We are kicking off a brand new series today that honestly I'm incredibly excited about because it's one of those, it's universal, it's practical. I believe that is literally has the potential to change every relationship we have in our lives. And so I'm pumped about it. And I'm glad you're here because for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about one simple topic. And the topic is communication. And how are we going to define communication? Communication is the successful exchange of information, ideas, or feelings. You know this. I know this. Communication is how humans interact with each other. It's how we share ourselves with each other. It's how we let another person know what we think. It's how we let another person know what we feel. It's how we let another person know what scares us, what bothers us, what we need, what we want. Communication is literally the foundation of every single relationship you have and I have in life. It's how we learn to trust people. It's how we grow close when we successfully exchange information, ideas, or feeling. So simple. What is that? 8 words. 8 words. So why is it so difficult? I'm glad you laughed, because it is. Otherwise, it was going to be a boring 3 weeks, because it's hard for me. So if you guys are good, I'm like, oh well, because communication can be a struggle. So much stuff can get in the way. Take my amazing bride, for example. We will be married 23 years in April of this year. 23, I do mean this, glorious years. Thank you. Best years of my life. Been married 23 years. And I would say we communicate pretty well now. She said now, by the way. Yeah. And so to kind of get us all in the mood, I'll start with a communication breakdown, a struggle that my bride and I had almost 20 years ago, I believe. And this is a story we talk about a lot all the time, about a communication fail, because this is an appropriate one to share publicly. There is plenty of stories I'll never tell you, and you don't want to know. But now, for a little background for this story, you need to know that Eric Colquitt, who is our student pastor now, he and I have known each other and been friends for over 20 years. We actually were on staff together, at our previous church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And then I came here to start the church, and then Eric came shortly thereafter. So we've known each other for a long time. We worked together for a really long time. So this story goes back 20 years. I was in my mid-20s. It's really crucial you remember that as I tell you more of this story. That I was in my mid-20s. And if you're in your mid-20s, learn from this. Don't do this, okay? So I was in my mid-20s, and we were at work. I don't remember what we were talking about. We were in our conference room, and somehow the topic of trust came up, and we started talking about like trust exercises and trust falls and doing that in school. And guys, I don't know why I did this. I still don't know why. There was one of those long lighters on the table, you know, the trigger lighters. And we were talking about trust, and so I just look at Eric, and I was like, do you trust me? And Eric's like, of course I trust you. And so I picked up that lighter, and I said, prove it. And he looked at me, and I said, I'm going to hold this lighter just like this. I want you to put your hand over the end, trusting that I won't burn you. And he thought about it for a minute. I was like, wait, do you think I'll actually burn you? And he goes, no. I said, well, then put your hand here. He said, no. And we laughed. I was like, you don't trust me? He's like, I do, but I'm not doing that. This went on for like a few minutes. And I have to be honest with you again. I kind of got my feelings hurt. I was like, does he really think I would burn him? Like, why won't he just, and obviously we moved on, but I couldn't let it go. And so when I got home that night, we were catching up on the day. I was talking with Danielle, and I was like, you won't believe what happened today. And I told her the story about how Eric wouldn't put his hand over. Realizing now, David, our oldest, was months old. So I don't think she was really hearing me when I was telling the story, as is going to be evidenced in a moment. So I'm telling her this story, and then I'll get, for instance, I trust you. I know you would never burn me, and I would do this. And without even thinking, I went to our bedroom. I grabbed a lighter. This time, it was a torch lighter, like the kind you use if you're lighting cigars or whatever. And I was like, see, like, for example, here, I'm going to give you this lighter, and I'm going to put my hand over it, and I know there's no way you would burn me. So I handed her the lighter. I put my hand over it. And somehow what she heard was, burn him. Because the second I put my hand over the lighter, she lit it. That torch took off on my hand, and I communicated some words I won't say on stage. We had a communication breakdown. I am certain you have had the same. And you've probably been on both sides. You've been the person who, I was so clear. There's no way they misunderstood, and they still did. But you've also been on the side of, I didn't really know what they were talking about, so I just did what I thought was best. You've all had conversations with someone after the fact, and you say, well, why didn't you tell me? And they said, I did. And they would say, well, I didn't really feel like I could say it because I didn't think you wanted to hear it. And you're like, but I asked you the question. Well, it was the way you asked it. The way you said it made me feel like you didn't really want to hear. Or, but we talked about this and you said it was okay. I know I said that, but that's not what I meant. Thank you for laughing because I find that equally confusing. But I'm told I'm the weirdo. We've all been there. And like with people we adore, with people we want the best for, we've all been there. We've all thought we've had the conversation, and then we look back and like, what? How is this so complicated? How is this so difficult? And maybe you're like me. I live my life basically by song lyrics. And I just, yeah, I do. And I just think of the late, great Brian Wilson. Wouldn't it be nice if we could communicate just a little bit better? Doesn't have to be perfect, just a little bit better. If it was just a little bit easier. If you're married in the room today, do not say amen too loud, but wouldn't it be nice to just have a little better understanding? Not always, but sometimes, what in the world is going on in their brain? Wouldn't it be nice to just have a little, just a little easier, a little clearer, a little more confident that tense topic you don't want to talk about, that, hey, we can communicate about this. We can successfully exchange information, ideas, and feelings, and we can come to a shared understanding. We can do that together. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice, parents, if it was just a little bit easier to communicate with your child or with your student, not only what you're trying to teach them, but the heart behind it, so that they can catch, I'm just trying to help. I'm just trying to help you succeed. Students, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to feel like your parents actually hear you and understand what you're saying and that maybe you understand back what they're saying. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice at work with your employees if you could just successfully exchange ideas and it caused no drama? When you have to correct someone or coach someone, if you could just do that, or even, wouldn't it be nice? If when there was something wrong in the organization and you went to your boss, you could communicate in a way where they received it and they understood and maybe actually even took some of your suggestions. If you're a boss in the room, wouldn't it be nice? If your employees, when they communicated with you or when you communicated with them, that you actually could connect on the communication and could actually move the organization forward, wouldn't that be nice? I think so. My assumption is you think so. And so starting today, we're going to spend 3 weeks turning to the God of the universe, because I've got great news. He solved this problem. Like, not made it better, he solved it. He has given us a solution. And today we are going to look at that solution. And then we're going to spend the next few weeks unpacking it and learning how to apply it in our lives. So this is a 3-week series, and today is our intro message. And so if you're new to our church, let me kind of explain how today is going to go. The goal today is to just get us all on the same page that, yeah, we've all got a problem. But guess what? The God of the universe has solved it. And if we turn to him and we trust him and we follow his ways, he will improve this struggle in our lives. He can make it better. But at the end of today, there's a very strong possibility you're going to leave here with more questions than answers. And that's a good thing, because we're adults. And change is hard. It takes time. We can't just say, do this, and expect us to just go out and implement it. We're busy. We've got lives. We've got things going on. And so what God wants to do is he wants us to move deliberately. He wants us to move slowly. He wants us to move in community. And as we do, we take advantage of everything he offers, we will find that we will grow in this area, that our communication with other people will become more successful than it is now. And now for some of you, the concept that the God of the universe has something to say to us about communication, that could be a foreign concept, and I get it. Because there's this picture, this image of God out in the world, out in culture, that he's just this bearded old guy in the sky with a lightning bolt waiting to catch us in a mistake so he can zap us. Like, that's sort of the image. But it's a lie. The God of the universe loves us so much that he sent his son to earth to fix the problem we created with our rebellion so we could have a relationship with him. He wants to be reconciled with us. And while he was on earth, Jesus talked about something he called the abundant life. And it's what he promised. He didn't just promise a better life in heaven. He promised an abundant life here and now. And that abundant life looks like living and moving forward in health and wholeness. That abundant life looks like not having to be defined by our mistakes. We have to own them, and God can heal them. But we don't have to live in guilt and shame. We don't have to be defined by them. The abundant life means we can walk in peace and satisfaction and joy and contentment regardless of our circumstances. That's the abundant life Jesus came to give. And for 3 years on earth, he taught us how to achieve this abundant life through teachings, through parables, through principles, through commands. He says, if you follow me, this is the life that's produced. And people were smart enough to write down Jesus' teachings. And so the first 4 books in our New Testament are the 4 biographies of Jesus' life, and they contain his teachings. Then the 5th book is the book of Acts, which is a history of the early church. And it shows how they started putting into practice his teachings. And then the rest of our New Testament are letters written by men we call apostles. And these men wrote these letters to Christians to continue to teach them how to walk into the abundant life that God created us to live. The person who wrote the most of these letters is a guy named Paul. We talk about Paul a lot here at our church. Paul was a church leader. He was a pastor. He was a church planner. Not only would he start churches, he would then write those churches letters to give them instructions. And what we believe about all those letters the apostles wrote is that God himself was speaking through them when they wrote it. It wasn't their words, it was his. And here's the amazing thing. These letters have been preserved for us for almost 2,000 years. And now on the other side of the planet, we get to read these letters. And it's as if the God of the universe is speaking to us. And when you take Jesus' teachings, when you take those letters, they are filled with the most amazing, life-changing promises and the most life-changing principles and the most life-changing truths. And if you consider yourself a Christ follower, our goal in life is to submit our desires to Jesus' teachings and to the teachings of the New Testament and to trust his way is better than my way. Now, within these letters, Paul deals and the other apostles deal with all sorts of issues. In the book of Ephesians, which was Paul's letters to the church in Ephesus, Paul teaches on communication. Not only does he teach on communication, he solves our communication problem. He gives us a standard. He gives us a goal. And basically says, if you all talk this way, you would have no communication problems ever. And we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at one verse today. In fact, this whole series is built on this one verse. And you may be wondering, how are you going to build a three-week series on one verse? Well, let me read you the verse, and you will understand why it's going to take us some time to allow this truth to not only get into our hearts, but to begin to change us. Because you understand, that's the only way this actually works. Like, church isn't about coming to get a list of rules and go out and perform better. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. When we gather, we bring our vulnerability and our humility and our weaknesses and we lay them at the foot of Jesus and we say, this is the best we got. We trust you. And his love and his power and his Holy Spirit begins to change us from the inside out. And I'm convinced that if we all give God 3 weeks, there is no limit to what he can do to our communication. And I want you to think about it. If we learn to communicate better with the people in our lives, doesn't everything else get better too? Isn't it kind of the key? I think so. So let's all turn to Paul's teachings together because Paul's going to reveal to us in one verse the solution. And then we're going to spend the next 2 weeks figuring out how in the world are we going to live this out on a daily basis. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. If not, it'll be up here on the screen. One verse. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 29. We're going to break it up. He starts this way. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. I was raised in the South and Southern Baptist. Unwholesome to me just means curse words. So if that's you, don't read this and think Paul's saying, the key to solving your communication problems is don't curse at people. But side note, do you like it when people curse at you? No, so maybe don't do that either. But Paul's actually making a much bigger point than curse words. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. And then he begins to define the opposite of unwholesome. He says, don't do this. Don't be unwholesome. Instead, do this. Only what is helpful. So see, by setting helpful and unwholesome as opposites, he's broadening the definition of unwholesome. Paul is saying, hey, if what you're speaking to someone isn't helpful, then that means it's harmful. And what does Paul call harmful? Unwholesome. And I like that image because he's like, you're not making the world a better place. When we aren't being helpful, we're not bringing light into the world. We're bringing something harmful into the world. So the standard begins, don't let any unwholesome talk ever come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful. Helpful how? Helpful for building others up. So he keeps narrowing the definition of what we should do, which keeps broadening the definition of what we shouldn't do. Now he has defined it as not only does it need to be helpful, but specifically for that person to build them up. And if you don't do that, it's unwholesome. It's harmful. And this is where we all start to go, well, Paul, this is getting a little ridiculous. I'm not quite sure how I'm supposed to do this. And Paul would say, don't get there yet. Paul would say, imagine if this was the standard online. Imagine if this was the standard on Facebook. Imagine if this was the standard on TikTok. Imagine if this was the standard. Imagine if the only thing you could type and hit send was something that was helpful for building others up. I think a lot of internet companies would go out of business. But think about it. Doesn't that sound great? Don't know how we do it, but it sounds great. Imagine a world where the only thing we spoke was helpful to build others up. If we stop there, that would be enough. But Paul's not done. He keeps defining what it looks like. Only what is helpful for building others up. Watch this. According to their needs. See what he just did? He basically just said, if you're going to speak into someone else's life, you need to know them well enough to know what their needs are and how you can be uniquely and specifically helpful to them in that moment. And if you're speaking into someone's life and you're not trying to build them up and you don't know them well enough to know their needs, even if you have good intent, what you're saying is unwholesome. It's harmful. That's what Paul would say. Because he says, do not let anything come out of your mouth. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. I have to know someone to know what they need. I have to be in relationship with someone to know what they need. I have to be in community with someone to know what they need. And that's really Paul's entire point. He says, don't let anything unwholesome come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. And he ends it this way, that it may benefit those who listen. Just read that again. Think about that. Paul says that's the solution. You want to improve the way you communicate? You want to make sure you successfully exchange ideas? Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And if Paul were here today, we'd be like, Paul, how are you telling me that it's my job in every interaction I have in life with every person to basically submit what I want and what I'm thinking in the moment and prioritize their needs, their help, their struggles, that the words out of my mouth should always be designed towards them in a way that helps them and builds them up, uniquely suited to them, taking into account their struggles, their current state of mind? You're really saying that's the standard? And Paul's like, yeah, you got it, man, nailed it. I couldn't have said it better myself. And if you're like me, you say, Paul, that makes me feel hopeless. Because I don't know how to do that. And Paul would say, well, of course you don't. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need a savior. But we'll get there. Let me ask you this question. Paul would say, look at that standard. Feels impossible, right? And we'd all say, yes. And Paul would say, I want you to think about it this way. How much would you like it if this was how your spouse communicated to you? Or if this is how your boss communicated to you. Or if this is how your parent communicated with you. Or better yet, if this is how every email you ever had to read was sent to you. If this is how every text message was filtered. If every unwanted phone call was filtered through this prism so that the only thing ever spoken to you was spoken by someone who knew you so well. They knew exactly what you needed. They knew where you were struggling. And they tailored their words in a way that it would be perfectly beneficial and build you up and benefit you moving forward. Think about that. Imagine that that was the way the world communicated with you. Can't we all admit, well, that would be better? Can't we all admit, you know what, I would love that. And then we start to get a little, you know what, that's right. If the world would just treat me this way, then I'd be able to, that's, I'm so glad my wife is here. Oh, she just, benefit those who listen. And Paul would say, yeah, I knew that's where we all go. And Paul would say, but hey, how successful have you been in life controlling the actions and behaviors of other people? We'd all say, well, we've been trying our whole life, man. But not super successful. And Paul was like, right, yeah, you can't. But we all agree the world would be better if this were the standard and this is how we treated people. We all say, yeah, I mean, I got to admit it. It would be better. He said, well, hey, what about rather than focusing on all the things you can't control, which is other people, what if for now we focused on the one thing we can't control, which is ourselves, our own thoughts and behaviors? What if we start there? Because we all agree this will be better. The world will be better if this were the standard. And if you're a Christ follower, this is a command. This isn't optional. This is Paul speaking on behalf of God's Holy Spirit, saying, this is what I want for you. And I say, Paul, it sounds overwhelming. And again, he say, I know it does, because you can't do it alone. But you don't have to. You have the Savior of the world who's going to walk with you. You have a church that wants to walk with you. And we all know the world will be a better place if more of us carried this standard with us in it. So Paul would say, rather than looking around and being frustrated that nobody else gets it yet, if we really want to change the world, it's got to start with us. So Paul would say, hey, if that standard sounds better to you, and I know it does, it sounds better to me, it sounds better to all of us. What if we partner with the God of the universe and began asking one simple question, just for this week, that I believe is going to push us towards God's preferred future? What if we all began asking this question? Am I speaking to others how I wish they would speak to me? Because the wishing isn't arbitrary anymore. We now have a standard. We've seen it. We've read it. It is the eternal truth of the God of the universe. We can count on it. We can build our lives on it. That's the better way to speak. And we know the world will be better. We know our marriages will be better. We know all relationships will be better if that was the standard in our relationship. And so Paul would say, hey, what if you just simply ask God to show you this week how close you are to the standard? Not other people, not what they do, but just you. How close are you to hitting the mark as is? And you may push back and say, well, why would I do that? How's that going to help anything? And Paul would say, well, that's the core of Jesus' teaching. It's the essence of everything he taught. The essence is when there's sin in the world, if we want to change it, we start with us. We look inside. We allow him to forgive us, to heal us, to mold us and to shape us into the men and women he created us to be. And then we bring that light to a world that desperately needs it. And so when it comes to communication, if there's a standard and we all agree it would be better, why not start acting that way in advance? We were all taught this when we were kids. We were all taught the golden rule, right? Treat other people how you want to be treated. It's kind of the standard. Now, depending on your faith background, you may not know. That's Jesus's. Jesus taught us that in Matthew chapter 7. In fact, here's what he says. He says, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. And then he says something amazing. He adds, this is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. He's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about all the rules God created for the nation of Israel when he was building them into a physical nation so that he could birth Jesus out of them to rescue the world. All those laws, everything, he's basically saying everything the God of the universe has communicated to human beings up until this point can be summarized this way. Do to others what you would like them to do to you. That is the standard for Christ followers. Jesus always starts with us because it's the one thing we have any control over. And so when it comes to communication, if there's a deficit in our life, if there's a deficit in our relationships, he say, start on the inside. Start with you. And compare yourself not to other people, not to the way they treat you, but make my standard your standard. Make my truth the truth of your life. And God's truth for how to communicate is simple. We just read it. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. It's the standard. You'd love it. I'd love it. And God would love to take you to it. And he will over the next few weeks and months. Even after we're done with this series, we're going to have the principles in place. It's going to take us a lifetime to master this. And that's okay. That's part of the journey. But if we know a standard, we can at least have conversations with God about how close we are to the standard. Because when he shows us where we're winning, that gives us encouragement. When he shows us where we have a deficit, that gives us places to grow, to pray, and say, why is this a struggle? Maybe there's something going on in my life I'm not aware of. Maybe I need some help. Maybe I need to work on this. Maybe I need to put some new spiritual practices in my life. All those things come next. Those are all the ways he grows us. But it begins with an awareness, not in the deficits of the world, but an awareness of the deficits in our own soul. Because when we become aware of those deficits, guess what? We turn to our Creator and he can fill them and he can make us whole. That's the plan for the next few weeks. And it starts with us. So my challenge as we wrap up is this, that when we leave here today and for the next week, you in prayer and consultation with God of the universe and his Holy Spirit will give him permission to speak into you at any time over the next week when you're interacting with other people and to show you how close you are to hitting the mark of this question. Am I speaking to others how I wish they would speak to me? Just ask the question. Just let God show you this week. And look, I'll be honest, man. If by the end of the week you're like, yeah, I nailed it, you can take the next few weeks off. Maybe we can meet later this week and you can tell me what I'm doing wrong. But the rest of us, I hope you'll come back next week. Because this is just the beginning. And what we're going to learn next week is that our King Jesus asks nothing of us that he hasn't perfectly provided for us. We don't have to do this alone. We never have, and we never will. So this week, just allow God's Holy Spirit to give you an awareness. Man, it's really hard for me to talk about this topic. It's really hard for me to stay calm. It's hard for me to be helpful with this person. It's hard for me to speak to their needs because I don't actually know their needs. Maybe I shouldn't be sharing my opinion about them because I don't actually know them. Maybe that wouldn't be helpful. I know, crazy thought. But just make space for God to move in your life this week. Because if you ask, he will show you. And as he shows you, there's no shame in this. We're all humans just trying to do our best. The awareness is a good thing because it reveals more and more places where we need God to help us. And then next week, we're going to turn to God, and he's going to show us how he's going to help us. And then week three, we're going to get even more practical. And then after that, we're going to have ongoing opportunities for you to take steps to grow in your understanding of yourselves and other people, because that's what God wants for all of us. But it begins inside. It begins with you. It begins with me. If we want to make God's standard our standard for the way we communicate in our lives, it begins right here. Am I speaking to others how I wish they would speak to me? And when he shows you where you're not, rest easy. The God who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it if you let him. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to enter our response time. And this is a time for you to decide now how you're going to respond to what God's talked to you about today. As we sing this song, decide what changes tomorrow because of the encounter I've had today. If there's a burden weighing on you, our prayer team's going to be down front. They'd love to pray with you. As always, we have communion available in the vestibules if you just want to start your year celebrating Jesus and thanking him for what he's done. But take this time, reflect on what he said, and decide now how you will respond, how you will step in light of what the King of the universe has taught us today. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we're just so grateful for your son, for his teachings, and for his truth, and the fact that he can speak into every area of our life, and when we submit it to him, it gets better. It doesn't look like we want it to look, but it looks like the abundant life you came to give. We trust you, Father, with this most serious issue, how we share ourselves with the world. We confess that it's a struggle. And we ask you to come in to heal us and to help us. May we grow an awareness of this week of the deficits we have. And may we return to you next week to learn what the next step is on the road to healthy communication. We love you. We thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.